I should start?
My name is Verlon Brown. I'm a pastor in Seattle, Washington, and my last and final class today is, what is it?
Building your persona.
Yes, persona.
What?
Persona.
Oh yeah, stage persona. So, here we go. First of all, I'm going to try to help us write a joke. And so, we need a setup. And a setup is short, a setup is true, and a setup is serious. So I thought we would do the village, something that happens in the village. And a joke, a definition of a joke, is our response to something that happens, which means it's not made up, it's not fictitious, it's something that happens. So I thought I'd try just writing out something that happens. I'll just put at Holden, the bell rings when ever it's time for, I'll say something. All right? And so the best way, and so that's the setup. At Holden, the bell rings whenever there's time for something. It's information, it's serious, it's straightforward. All right, so a good way to make a joke is to find the noun. What's the noun in this sentence?
Bell.
Bell. So find the noun, and then associate things with bell. What would you associate? I'll put bell. What kind of things would you associate with bell?
That's all the in response.
What? Celebration. Service.
I'm still trying to spell
past. If you ring the bell at Holden, will people salivate? Or
all right. Response. Salivate. What else?
Servants.
What?
Servants.
Servants. Oh, yeah. Servants.
School hallways.
Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
School hallways.
School hallways. Okay. What else?
Tricycles.
What else would you associate with bells?
Christmas.
A bell.
Church.
Church. I mean, churches.
Okay.
Weddings.
Anything else? Association. We're doing associations with bell, with the word bell. What else?
What does the second
fire alarm
say?
Hmm?
Think of fire alarm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Think through some word in me that I know I can't spell. I didn't even try to spell it right.
You do bear bells. Bear bells.
Bear bells?
Yeah, like, you know, to scare off the bears.
Make noise so they know you're coming. Mm.
Anything else?
Irritant.
Irritant.
Yeah.
Well,
whenever the bell rings, it's irritating.
Means your lecture went too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go with these. So how would you make a punch using some of these words? And another thing you can do is also associate with these words. You don't have to stick with these words, you know. So like tricycles, I would put kids. Servants, I would put So anyway, so using some of these and maybe something else you'd associate with these, what would be your response to at holding the bell rings all the time for something? What is that? What would you, can you think of anything? I mean, the obvious one is, would be this one. It's like we're Pavlovian's dogs, you know. So that would be the punch. It's like we're Pavlovian's dogs. What else? Anything else that you see? You could say it's like church is every 2 hours. Using, you know, this word here, the church. Anything else? And this is how you would write your jokes. You know, you just go down the list with stuff and see what pops out at you. And you're always looking for a visual where you can then act it out. So
if you don't have a very good marriage going for yourself, it could be like it's a wedding every 2 hours.
You could say that, like it's a wedding every 2 hours.
Or a marriage, or a divorce.
Yeah.
I'm cynical.
What else? Anything else pop out of people?
This isn't funny, but I'll just say it anyway.
All right. You're Canadian. I don't expect you to be funny.
So not true. It's like we entered a time machine and came out in the 1800s. That's what it feels like to me. I don't know how you can change it to make it funny.
Okay. I'll just put it's like we're in the 1800s.
So just now after Vespers, there was a fire alarm in the village center, and nobody in the ice cream line moved.
I don't think anybody in the village center would be there.
And I wonder if you could work that in.
Well, you could work that in, but that's a whole different thing.
Well, but you know, when the bell rings, everybody runs down for dinner, but if the fire alarm rings and you're standing in the ice cream line, you don't give up your spot.
The fire brigade has stopped responding.
This is one I've heard. You could do that. It's time to eat. That's what the bell ringing means sometimes. What else? School hallways, servants.
Every time the Holden bell rings, another soul from purgatory springs.
All right.
Little play on the indulgence thing.
See, I lost 2 already. I'm blaming the audience.
See? Another soul from Dish Team Springs. Or something else, like part of Holden.
Yeah, Dish Team. You know, you don't have to limit yourself to these associations with bells. Let's see.
Every time a bell rings, a squirrel gets its wing.
That can be funny.
I always feel like I'm late for something, even when I have nothing to go to.
All right.
I jump up and go, oh wait, nowhere to go. Nothing to do right now.
Or it feels like you should.
See the bell behind you, you're on vacation, huh?
Yeah. Late for class, I'll wait now. People are going to forget to eat when they go home because the bell won't ring.
Oh, that's good.
They won't know when to do anything.
Or they'll hear the bell ring and they'll want to eat.
Okay. Where's my food?
You're running down the hill.
Yeah. What did you say, Siri?
I said that when people leave the village, they never eat because they don't hear a bell. It's not funny, but however you can put it. I've heard people who are on long-term staff, they go home and like, I don't know what to do with myself because there are no bells telling me where to go or when things are happening.
They go home and starve. Yes. Go home and starve because there's no bell to tell them when it's dinner time.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's one you could do. When I left Holden Village, a bell rings every time for something. When I left Holden Village, I couldn't eat until I heard a bell, without hearing a bell. You know, and then you would, possibly act that out. All right. Mildly. Okay, we'll try another one here. I'm gonna keep going until we get a laugh.
Uh-oh. When the bell rings.
When the bell rings, we'll laugh.
You're limited by Bob Dylan.
All right.
You can do something around the Liberty Bell, too. We never thought of that.
Oh, yeah, never thought of that. All right. Can someone think of another setup for us?
Something with the bus?
Waving.
Waving goodbye at the buses.
Or hello.
Another one, when people leave Holden, they find themselves on the streets waving to city buses.
That's very good.
Hi.
Yeah, absolutely. And that leads right to an act out. You know, you could be standing at the bus stop going, bye. Very funny. Very good, Siri.
Go down, hang out at the bus stop, the bus depot, wave goodbye to all the people.
See? You got it. What's the noun in this? The bus. Mm-hmm. So that would be bus stop. What else? What other? Or waving too.
Could be waving.
Yeah, waving.
Could be waving. But waving's a verb, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but either one, whichever one you get the strongest image from. You know, you could go with either one. So if we went with either one, what association do you have with waving other than goodbye?
Grass.
What?
Grass.
Oh, grass.
Wheat. Wheat. Beauty queens.
What else?
Waves of grass.
Leaves of grass.
Beauty
okay,
waves
what else?
In the car, waving.
In the, right.
Okay.
The queen.
Oh, yeah.
Braids.
Great queens. Perfect.
The queen.
Oh, windshield wipers.
Windshield wipers?
Yeah.
All right.
Great.
What else? I mean, already with these, you could say, we're always waving and holding. It's like every day's a parade. You know,
mm-hmm.
You can maybe act that out and go, you know, something like that. Or, you know, I feel like by the time I left, I felt like the Queen Mom.
Mm-hmm.
You could do her wave, you know.
One of my arms is a lot stronger than the other.
Yeah, that's true. That would be good.
You don't
good.
Switch off? Come on.
Huh?
I'm trying to balance it out, yeah. We get in our exercise every day.
Exercise every day, yeah. Waving. See? We're writing jokes. That's how it's done. You sit down and you pound out associations and, you know, write jokes. That's one way to write jokes. All right? Do you feel like you know how to write jokes?
So?
If you were to go home and someone was to say, and your kid or whatever would come to you and say, Mommy, write me some jokes. Or Daddy, write me some jokes. Could you do that?
What's your phone number?
See, we got comedians in the crowd. It's just that's a...
Call for lunch.
I know how to write jokes. It's just they're not funny.
Right. Well, the trick is you keep going until they get funny. It's like anything else. You don't stop. You just keep going. Keep going until you strike gold. Till it gets funny.
You strike copper.
Or copper. Okay. Give me another. Give me something that bugs you about Holden Village.
Besides no beat.
Okay. Should we go with that one again?
They've got to beat that
track. That was a strong one last time.
That little chipmunks that have been eating the people food.
That bugs you, the chipmunks?
I ended up with two of them in my lap the other day.
So, if we use the four words, you remember what they are?
Weird, silly, scary, and stupid.
Weird, hard, stupid, scary.
Yeah.
Pisses you off.
Yeah.
They're actually fine.
Hard, stupid. Scary. All right. So, with this, let's hope the bishop doesn't come in. Would you say the squirrels piss you off? Or you think it's
sometimes.
Weird?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Stolen food off of my plate.
All right. Okay. There you go.
It's meat.
There you go. It pisses
you
off.
Yes.
So, see, you're doing it already. You're doing it already.
Salad and took the meat.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. See, you're writing jokes already. You know how to write jokes. You know how to write jokes. Sometimes people who don't think feel like they think too fast to write this out will just take a recorder and do it exactly what you did. Just kind of, you know, just word associate, just spill it out, just get your guts out there. Some writers, this woman named Judy Carter, who's written two books on comedy, says that you should never write without a comedy partner. And so she recommends everyone have a comedy partner and come up with jokes that way, because really when for TV shows and movies, all of those things are written with 10, 12 guys in a room, you know, throwing jokes at each other, picking the best one. So it's not kind of like we're doing here in a vacuum, just me trying to come up with jokes or, you know, but it's done just like this, a group of us coming up with jokes.
I think I might unwittingly be my friend's comedy partner. He calls me every time he's done. He says, this is what I'm coming up with, and what's happening to you?
Okay, well, you could be.
I think so.
You could be his comedy partner.
He didn't tell me.
Yeah.
I was uninformed.
A lot of comics do that. They're trying out their material on you all the time. And but, you know, you could tell them, I'm not, you know, pay me.
I think I need to be getting some kind of royalties for this.
Something. A sandwich, lunch.
I don't think he's getting paid.
Yeah, he's not getting paid.
10% of zero is
but
zero.
But he's using your material.
Yep. Someday.
So, let's say the chipmunks piss you off because they're taking your food. Why does that piss you off that they're taking your food? Just everybody throw. Why would that piss you off that they take your food?
They're not waiting for the bell.
Perfect. That's a perfect joke.
Okay.
We have to set it up.
They gather out there before the bell rings. I watched it today.
They hear the
thing. They do. I just noticed lots of places. Coffee breaks. They gather out there.
They
gather and wait for the bell. Like we used to when we were kids and dinner, you know, and they had the two sessions. I don't know if any of you came up
here.
Yeah, they had the two sessions. And when we were kids, we would all gather on the porch. That's what the chipmunks look like on the ark. They're all running around up there going, where's the food? Where's the food?
Or the chipmunks beat you down the hill.
Yeah.
What else?
Did somebody say something about Pavlov's dog?
Yeah, we found
okay,
Pavlov.
Okay, you did that. Okay.
Anything else? Why? And when you write, I mean, you're asking yourself this question over and over again. Why does this piss me off? Why is, you know... So you're trying to get it. Why it pisses you off that the chipmunks take your food?
Because I gotta go get peanut butter and bread because I'm hungry after dinner because they've stolen my food.
They're thieves. What else? Why else does it piss you off?
You never get to wave goodbye to them.
They're always running under your feet. Do you think you get, you know, something there. I mean, they're just dashing, you know. It was hilarious when one ran up into Andy's lap. You know, he just kind of jumped up.
So what's that? They're what? What does that mean? They're running out of their aggressive?
Yeah, they're
fearless.
Have their nerves. They have their nerve.
Yeah.
And they have pointy claws, I can tell you that.
Could you turn that into scary? I mean, like, you could be afraid of how fearless they are, or maybe, like, how dangerous they've become.
Yeah, I mean, surely you could say, you know, you could use either one of these. I mean, you could ask yourself, what's weird about it, what pisses me off about it, what's hard about it, what's stupid about it. You can go through all of these writing stuff down until you strike gold, you know, until you find something that strikes you as funny, and that you can act out and move along. You know, you want to get more than just one laugh out of a joke. You know, you want to get one laugh, and then you act out, you get another laugh, possibly do a what if, and get another laugh. You know, like, let's see. They're not waiting for the bell, you know. You would get a laugh, and you say, we have to wait for the bell. We stand there and wait for the bell. You know, you could do that act out, and so you got to act out. And then you could say, what if we all ran around under the chairs and around for our food, and you could, you know, act that out again. So you can get maybe possibly three, possibly four laughs out of one setup. That's what you're going for all the time. As many laughs as you can possibly get out of that set up. Let's see. You want to try another one? Let's try another one.
So you could say that you could start talking about the fact that you never get much meat around here, and you sat down at the picnic ready to put the hot dog in your mouth, and the chipmunk came from nowhere and swiped it. Hot dog right out of your
You could say, the chipmunks get more meat than we do.
You could also start thinking about roasted chipmunks.
Yeah.
Sure did. Fat chipmunks. You know, they're already fat.
They're chubby.
Yeah. Or you could say, you know, we're going to make them wait in line. You know, we're not going to give them anything until they wait in line or something like that. And, you know, you could have chipmunks standing in line.
A line of chipmunks down the steps.
Yeah, yeah, you know. So you get your three or four laughs out of one setup. That's That's what you're after all the time. I do a thing in my act where I say, my setup is I scare white people. And that when black people see me down walking the street, they just see a guy walking the street. What white people see is a monster. You know, so they laugh at that. And then I say, you know, I walk up to a guy and I say, can you give me the time? If they're white, what they see is, give me that watch, give me that watch. So, you know, you try to get as many laughs as you can out of that one set.
So does nervous laughter count then?
I think if you're a comic, you take what they say. All right. Let's try to write. This is a joke that I've thought of today, and I thought it would be funny. You have to tell me if you think it would be funny. Maybe I'll just tell you. I'll tell you the joke and then I'll tell you the genesis of the joke. Because like we said, joke is a response to what happened. The joke is that it doesn't appear that white guys have much rhythm, except if they're Hare Krishnas. And have you noticed Hare Krishnas have this wonderful rhythm, you know, boom, 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 boom. And it's like the average white guy does not have that kind of rhythm. But the moment they become a Krishna, they got rhythm. I honestly find that baffling. You know, you go by airports or you go downtown and these Krishna guys have this wonderful rhythm going. But, you know, when they were white guys, they didn't. So, anyway, what do you think of that? That's how it goes. But you know.
I think it's regional. I've never seen one.
You've never seen a Krishna?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's young. Really?
We don't have a Minnesota.
It's too cold in Minnesota.
Yeah. You don't have Krishnas in Minnesota?
They have that with flowers, which, you know, is kind of.
I've seen them in movies, but.
I haven't seen them. I am not drunk.
I'm sorry.
That's
what?
No,
you've never seen him playing the drums with the boots?
Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari. That's Krishna, Krishna. Not really that good rhythm. That's why I was like, huh? But maybe there were some kids in Seattle.
Okay.
So we have special Hare Krishna.
See, it's the regional. Just don't bring it to the Midwest.
I try. But that's true. That's a reality. Some jokes don't work in certain parts of the country. Some jokes don't travel, as they say. And that's just a reality. And comics are dealing with that all the time. You know, stuff that works there in their material in the Midwest doesn't work, you know, somewhere else because other people are unaware of it. So anyway, pay attention to that. So one more joke idea. Let's get political. Give me a political setup. And I'm not gonna do it because I tend to move, I lean liberal. So if someone doesn't wanna lean liberal, you know, but if you do, whoever comes up with the setup first, I'm going to write it. I don't care if it's liberal or conservative.
Obama came to a Holden, and
that's not true.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Really? No political humor.
Sarah Palin bought. I can't think of a joke. I can start one. She bought so many clothes with government money to look so flashy.
Okay, let's start with that. Sarah Palin.
Heck, we could just start with Sarah.
And she took all those strips of government money.
Well, let's start with the clothes.
Yeah.
Sarah Palin bought did we lose another one?
No.
All right.
But
so
what's the government? I don't get the government money part.
But she bought all these fancy clothes for herself out of
campaign
taxpayer
money.
It was campaign,
campaign
money.
Campaign.
But that's not taxpayer money.
No.
Well, it's campaign.
Campaign.
Okay.
Money.
I'll put campaign money. Yeah. That may make a difference in the joke.
Yeah. But it was money.
We were looking at starting a TLC show about her.
Yeah, we'll
look at TLC.
Wait. So what's the noun? Clothes?
Sarah Palin?
Is that the subject?
So,
what's the noun?
Clothes.
Campaign money.
Is it clothes or campaign money?
Mm-hmm.
Can it be both?
Yeah.
Come on, you English majors.
Target?
Huh?
Yes, she would.
Which Sarah Palin's definitely the target.
Okay.
So Sarah's the target. So she's the target. She's the one we're after in this joke. But what's the noun that we're going to make associations with? Is it clothes or campaign money?
Well, both.
All right. Clothes, campaign money. All right, give me some associations with either one.
So she could wink at people.
Associations.
What?
Associations with clothes and campaign money.
Imelda.
Not the joke so far, just associations.
Imelda Marcos.
Okay.
Barbie.
Barbie's
that's a good
one.
You dress Barbie.
Vice President Barbie.
You have jokes already. That's great.
President Barbie.
Yeah. She's running for. She's, you know, she's buying. How would you say it? Sarah Palin bought a bunch of clothes with her campaign money.
Here, I'd like to introduce President Barbie or something.
Yeah, President Barbie.
Here we wish to introduce.
Or she wanted to look good because her vice is Barbie, or, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Campaign President Barbie or something. That's, okay. What's another association? Give me some more associations.
Dress for success.
Dress for success.
A role model for young women.
Is that association you see with clothes, or is that
yeah,
a joke?
Yeah, the way you dress.
Okay.
Role model.
Role model. Anything else?
Well, role model for going out and boosting up the economy, right? Let's all go out and buy lots of fancy clothes.
Yeah, then we'll, you know,
power suit.
Again.
Anything else?
Designer.
To attract voters. She bought those clothes to attract people to vote for her.
Okay. So, okay, we got some associations. Any jokes? We did the Barbie one, but if you can do another one, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I like the Imelda Margot. Sarah Palin bought a bunch of clothes with her campaign money. Now she just wants to be referred to as Imelda Margot. Yeah, something like that. I couldn't act out Imelda Margot. So.
She was famous for the shoes.
Yeah, she was famous for shoes.
Yeah.
Right?
I like Vice President Barbie. I like that one.
All right. Is anything else from this association list that you could use to create a job?
She created 10 new retail jobs in every stop they made.
That would be
she thought
good,
the way of
yeah.
getting the power of the people would be to get the right power suit or something like that.
Okay.
Play
power
off power.
Yep.
Trade
power
a snowmobile suit for a power suit.
Mm.
What was
okay.
That?
That's a snowmobile suit for a power suit. Okay. No laughter yet, though. I like the boost in the economy. Sarah Palin bought a bunch of new clothes with her campaign money to help boost the economy.
Okay.
Anything else?
Well, and you could play with the wording slightly with it's. She bought a bunch of clothes, like saying she bought so many clothes that.
How
that? So that kind of sets it up a little.
Sets it up a little differently, yeah.
So many clothes that the economy of, you know, Maine quadrupled.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe you would name a specific designer that she. I don't know which.
Calvin Klein. That's
I don't know.
It would
be like, you know, some expensive.
Yeah.
Christian Dior.
Yeah.
Some expensive store. She spent a lot of money on those suits.
But yeah, so.
More important to look good than.
You see how it's done.
The one thing she didn't buy was a Mother of the Bride.
All right, that was good. Yeah, that would be a good one.
No mother.
I don't know how to act that out.
If only she'd spent as much money on a speechwriter as she did on her wardrobe.
Yeah. All right. But you still we're in as remember what LPMs are?
Laugh per minute.
Some of those jokes you're only getting one laugh. So, you know, you gotta try to get more laughs.
Well, you kind of gotta find the right thing to riff on.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, maybe we need some more of these or what, you know, but anyway.
What about tying, didn't Newt Gingrich now just have like a $500,000 bill with
at Tiffany's?
Tiffany's, and maybe there could be some combining of those two.
Yeah, and that's true. That's another thing you can do with jokes, especially political jokes. You can make a list of everything that's going on in the political arena. You know, Newt Gingrich, Anthony Weiner. You know, you could list all those things that are going on in the political arena and, you know, figure out, you know, how this connects to them. She bought a bunch of new clothes with all her campaign money. Meanwhile, the Democrats didn't have to spend anything on Anthony Weiner's wardrobe, you know, that kind of thing. All right. Do you feel like you can go out and write jokes now?
Maybe.
Yeah.
With the right comedy partner.
With the right comedy partner. Okay. So one of the big things with comedy is you gotta have a an identity. And so much of comedy depends on your identity. So so you get that identity from, well, let's go through this. Who's chief?
Jack Benny.
Who gets no respect?
Rodney.
Who's a redneck?
Foxworthy.
Foxworthy. There's another one.
Larry the Cableman.
Larry.
What was that? John Goodman, isn't he a redneck?
Yeah, but he's not a comedian.
Oh, comedian.
Can we talk?
Joan Rivers.
Domestic goddess.
What's your name?
Lady Gaga?
Roseanne,
exactly.
Yeah, she's
looking. Coward. We might be going too old school. Bob Hope? Nobody remembers poor old Bob Hope?
Hope, sure.
Yeah, he was a coward.
Yeah.
Bob Hope? Doesn't everybody know Bob Hope?
Family Man.
Cosby.
Ray Romano.
Cosby, Romano. Mm-hmm. Intellectual.
Steve Landisberg.
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen.
Who did you mention?
Steve Landisberg.
Oh, I don't think I know who that is. What has he done?
Well, he was on Barney Miller for a long time, but he was a stand-up.
Oh, that's okay. He died recently, like in the last eight months or so.
Yeah.
Okay, I know who you're talking about. Smartass. You can't think of anybody?
Richard Pryor was what came to my mind, but
mm-hmm. Kinda, yeah.
Like David Spade, maybe?
Oh yeah, exactly, David Spade, mm-hmm. Yeah. Jester.
Robin Williams.
Carrot Top.
I was hoping to get through this without having to write Carrot Top.
Yep.
Aggressor.
Stephen Colbert?
Aggressive. You think Stephen Colbert is aggressive?
Political satirist?
Yeah. That would be Stuart Colbert. Who else would be a political satirist?
Jon Stewart,
yeah. Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Aggressor. Who would be an aggressor?
Don Rickles?
We're going old school again. Exactly. Don Rickles. Who else? What's the guy, Hickory Dickory Dock?
Dice Clay.
Yeah. He would be an aggressor. Drug rebel.
Bill Maher.
Yeah, sort of. He talks about using drugs, but I would put him as more of a political guy. But Cheech and Chong.
Richard Pryor might fit there.
Yeah, Pryor. Mm-hmm. Although he kept denying he was using drugs. So. I don't know, but I'll put him down there.
Mitch Hedberg.
Mitch Hedberg, of course.
Yes.
George Carlin. Mm. Okay. Now, the thing about this is that this is where the money and the fame is. It's no surprise that we knew that the top paying comics, the top comics of all times, you knew exactly what their theme was or what their character was, because that's what comics want to do. Every comic out there, are thousands of comics out there in clubs around the country trying to make it, but many of them lack this, some kind of recognition as to who their character on stage is. This is comedy gold here. If you can get, if someone mentions your name and then right after it, mentioned something about you. Oh, Roseanne Barr, she's the domestic goddess. Perfect. That's exactly what every comic wants to do. They want to be able for you to be able to connect them with something. Oh, Jeff Foxworthy, he's the guy, if you know you're a redneck, win, you know. Bam, that's perfect, you know, because with that, you can also get a sitcom, you know. Ray Romano, he didn't have to write his sister, he came there with his identity, and that's perfect for sitcom material. And why does every comic want to do a sitcom?
Make money.
Steady work.
Steady work. They don't have to travel all over the country, staying in bad hotels, being away from their families, no community. every comic wants some kind of a sitcom or some kind of a show, and the way to get that is to have an identity that everybody knows what it is, makes it easy for the writers. They know what your character is, and they write for that character. It makes it easy for you to write, because you're writing for that character. Woody Allen said that you get that character and then you just feed that hungry monster. Because the moment you get that character and it sticks, all you gotta do is pour material into that character and it just gives out comedy gold. And so that's what every comic wants is a character, someone that they can be on stage. And like I said earlier, you get that character from who you are as a person. It's not all of you, but it's a piece of who you are as a person.
There's some people missing, and I'm curious where you would put them.
Who?
Seinfeld.
Well, Seinfeld would be observational comic. That's what they would call. I didn't put it down there, but yeah.
So he's a persona.
Yeah, huh?
Even though he's a show? I don't mean a stand-up. I mean his show.
Well, his show was all about observations. You know, he said it was about nothing, but it was all about observations. I mean, he'd start off in the beginning kind of giving his observations about women or men or something, and then the show would kind of be about that, and then he'd wrap it up at the end. So it was about just going through life saying, whatever. What do you do? You know, have you ever done that? Or, you know, what's with this? What's with this? What's with that? That's what he and George said all the time. What's with this? What's with that? That's, you know.
But George is kind of an aggressor type character.
Well, George would be an aggressor, but George is not a stand-up. But George would, you know, his character would definitely be an aggressor.
What about somebody like Steve Martin?
Steve Martin would definitely be a jester. You know, he's just a clown. He was just a jester, yeah.
What about like Rick Moranis and John Candy? Would you have a persona of kind of a loser or lovable buffoon? Or
I think they're just Canadian. I think Rick Moranis would be like a lovable loser.
Yeah, lovable loser.
And Candy would be
lovable buffoon.
Yeah, but they're not stand-ups. They're sketch comics. So their persona was changing all the time. You know, Candy was everything. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the difference between a sketch comic and a stand-up comic. A sketch comic doesn't need, you know, an identity other than, oh, this is the funny guy or the fat guy or the short guy or something like that, because he's switching them all the time. But stand-ups need an identity. So my first thing would be is to tell me about yourself. Give me some things that you are. What are you, Charles?
Dad?
Yep.
Black man?
Yeah.
Young man, hopefully, still.
Really?
Still a little
really
bit.
Really, Charles?
hanging on.
Okay.
We'll go with young at heart.
There you go. Bartender by trade?
Yeah.
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. never saw Kare Krishna.
Never saw Kare Krishna.
So all of that would go into who you are as a stand-up comic. If you could put the theme of who you are in one word, could you do that? Okay. And what about in one sentence? If you had a slogan for who you are, could you do that in one sentence?
Probably not, but...
Okay.
Get back to me tomorrow. I'm going to get my team of writers together. Okay.
But, so that's how you would do it. You'd have to come up with a theme for kind of like what your comedy, what you think your comedy is about or what would come, you know, what would come through. I would think for Charles, and I don't mean to be picking on you, Charles, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to see you again after tomorrow. But
on the boat.
But the fact that you're a black male, you can't really ignore that. Mm-hmm. Somehow you would have to address that on stage. Now, Bill Cosby never does black male jokes, you know. He's one of these guys who just, you know, he deals with the family and that's it. He doesn't really play the race card or have to deal with the race card at all. But that's kind of a rarity. But if you're going to be a comic, you can try to deal with what you want to deal with. You know, you'd have to, there's plenty of black comics out there who have other identities other than just being black. I mean, people might say, well, he's a black comic, but what does he deal with? There's this one guy, I can't think of his name now, but his thing is that he's a short guy. He's a little guy.
Cat Williams.
Who?
Cat Williams.
Well, Cat Williams thing, I wasn't going to bring up Cat Williams because it's family show. You know what his thing is. But this other guy, I can't think of his name, but his thing is that he's little and that... you know, like his girlfriend pushes him around. You know, he's sort of a coward, but that's kind of his shtick. That's who
he's very self-deprecating.
Yeah. So that's who his what his comedy is about.
And, how about Chris Rock?
Well, definitely being black.
Yeah.
Would be his thing. His hostility. Towards whites.
He gets a lot of family stuff too.
He does some family stuff, but it always gets back to being black with Chris Rock, I think. I can't think of any joke Chris Rock made that didn't have to do with being black. Other than Krispy Kreme donut joke.
And then he brought it back to crack.
He did. He brought it back to crack. So maybe urban comic would maybe be what Chris Rock is. Because everything deals with being black and crack and hostility towards whites and that sort of thing. Any other comics stick in people's minds?
Louis Anderson,
yeah. He does family stuff. He does a lot of stuff about his dysfunctional family. And he said one night he was on stage and he was doing jokes, and this guy after, a lot of comics, this cracks me up, a lot of comedy is like church. You know, you do your set, and after the show is over, the comics are standing in the back and shaking people's hands as they go out. And if you know, it felt a lot like church to me. But anyway, Louis Anderson said that as a guy was shaking his hand on the way out, he says, "You know, you should do more of that family stuff. It's really funny." And Louis Anderson said he was just in a place in his life where he could hear that kind of stuff, and he kind of toyed with it and, you know, struck comedy gold. He could do you know, he did a lot of family stuff, a lot of clean family stuff. And he's one of these guys who just does tons of act outs. He's just a regular cartoon on stage. I mean, he's very visual on stage. And he said that he was very influenced by Richard Pryor, believe it or not. So, so I guess that's it. That's it. This is comedy. That's the comedy life, ladies and gentlemen. Any questions? Any final questions or anything?
Give us some of your shtick.
I've done some of my shtick over the over the period. Mm-hmm.
Do you some know.
You know, it's been a while since I've done it, and I
on,
don't
make
have
me laugh.
It. And you know,
give us some LPMs.
LPMs. I let's see. I my LPMs. I like to watch. You know, it's a comedy club. You do it at night. It's dark.
Pretend
it's
that we're drinking.
Turn the lights off.
Not my tea.
Well, let me try a few of the things that I came up with.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry about you. Come on. Come on. I apologize.
We should have done this a long time ago, because that way, because these are very, you know, jokes in progress. It's like what we were doing, trying to come up with jokes.
And he's the one guy. He's the brave guy who said
trying to get more accomplished.
I'm so sorry for it. Take it away.
So I have notes.
Go ahead. Notes.
See if I can do some of this stuff with that. And try to. How many of you own smartphones? How many of you don't own smartphones? Well, what's wrong with you people, anyway? You know, the thing about smartphones is, those of you that own them, did they work? You know, are you smarter than you were before? Are you just as dumb? You know, the thing about, the funny thing about the smartphone words is it the phones that are smart, or the people that are using that are smart, or do they make them smart? But one thing that struck me is that people that have smartphones, it seems to make them dumb. Because they do dumb things. You know, they walk around and run into things, right? And they check their cell phone to see how the weather is instead of just kind of walking outside and seeing, right? And I thought, you know, would it be better if the cell phone actually, or if the smartphone actually did do something that made people smarter? And probably the best way is to get it from people from doing stupid things. So what if you had somebody's about to do a dumb thing, your smartphone sends you a text message telling you not to do it. So what would that be? So let's say you're, and it could be, you know you're going to answer it because everybody always answers a text message. It comes in, you know, they look at it, no matter what they're doing, right? So a guy is, being seduced by a beautiful woman, and he's going to answer that text message. He's going to look at it. He's not going to answer it, but he'll kind of look at it and see what's going on. So the message says something like, do you really want to do that? Is that really a good idea? And so, you know, you think about people that this would have been great for. So think about Sarah Palin's bus tour. You know, wouldn't that have been great if she would have had something like this? Because, you know, somebody asked her, what did you learn about Paul Revere today? And she's about Paul Revere, and she's about to say something, and this message comes in and says, Sarah, just shut up and smile. Or, let's see, who else did I have there? Oh, yeah, Britney Spears. And her text message comes in, cross your legs. Or maybe get a pro to cut your hair. There you go. Let's see. Well, like I can go in completely another direction, but I think we'll stop there. I got a couple laughs.
Thank you very much. That was very brave of you. And so, any questions? All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your patronage. Now it's time for Bob Dylan.